from Isaiah 9.
The people who are now living in darkness will see a great light.
Jesus is in the
world. They are now living in a very dark land, but a light will shine on them.
A child will be born to us. A son will be given to us.
Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us.
He will rule over us, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
There will be no limit to how great his authority is. The peace he brings will never end.
His rule will be based on what is fair and right. It will last forever.
The Lord's great love will make sure that happens. He rules over all.
Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen. Let's give him a hand. You guys can go ahead and have a seat.
This is a reading from the book of Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for a baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. You can be seated. Today, I want to impress upon you a very simple idea. Love. I want to compel you to consider a very basic concept. Love. Kiddos in the room, if you have one of those grandmas that asks too many questions, I'm going to make this very easy for you. When she asks you at Christmas dinner or Christmas Eve dinner, what was the Christmas Eve sermon about? You will tell her, love. Love. That's what we're talking about today. For the last several weeks, we've been talking about what Christ born among us, what Christ coming into the world and into our lives does for us. And we've talked about how he gives us peace for our minds, hope for the future, and joy for every season of our lives. And today we come to what Scripture calls the greatest of all things, and that is love. Because of all the things, the lessons that we can learn at Christmas time, of all the things demonstrated to us, the most important, the most central, the most essential is love. And when we, in the grand Christian story, we talk about love a decent amount. You know, when we talk about the crucifixion, about Christ died for us, we talk about love. We say that that is why Christ gave himself for us. It was an act of love. When we talk about Christ's life here on this earth, the miracles that he did, the teachings that he taught us, we talk about love. We say his life was marked by such love. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, the coming of the Holy Spirit into our lives, we say, like, man, God loved us so much that he sent a helper, his presence, to be with us. And what I'm trying to say is that when we talk about Christmas, we need to talk about love. We should always speak of love at Christmas. The birth of Jesus, the coming of Christ into the world, the miracle of God born among us is love. Sometimes the arrival, the simple arrival of a person, regardless of what they do after they arrive, is an act of love. I have a friend, Tony, that is very good at displaying this kind of love. Tony, on the very first time I ever preached to at a church, this was many, many years ago, Tony drove hours out of his way to come sit in the second row. That's right, the second row, because nobody sits in the first row at church then, and they still don't now, except for my family. Thank you. Tony drove hours just to be there. He sat in the second row just to be a supportive presence to me. When my grandma died a couple years ago, Tony took off of work just to be there at the funeral. And Tony didn't, like, then offer me some, like, very profound, comforting words or something. It was his simple act of arriving, of being there, that was, like, a great act of love to me. That's my point about Christmas, that despite all the things that Christ would later do to demonstrate his love, his arrival itself is an act of love. His great acts of sacrifice would come later, but the first of all of them was to come to be with us at Christmas. And if we miss that, we miss something essential about Christmas. 1 John 4:9 is the verse that I'm going to use most heavily today. If you're a note taker, you can jot that down. It says this: "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." God showed us his love by sending Christ to us. That day that Christ was born, his arrival into the world and into our lives was love. Later on, we're going to sing the beloved Christmas song, Silent Night. And the lyrics, one of the lyrics of that song goes like this: "Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light." Now, in case you're not familiar with those lyrics, it's not saying, it's not using loves as a verb, as if to say, God loves light. Jesus Christ, he loves light. No. It's using love as a possessive noun. The Son of God, comma, loves pure light. Christ himself is God's love to us, the distilled, perfect love of God. And that love is for us. It is for you. The verse says that that's how God demonstrated, that's how he showed his love to us, was by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. The motivation for God to do that was love. Christ's arrival into the world was an act of God's love from him to us. God saw then, and he still sees our pain and suffering and brokenness and difficulty, and he is utterly determined to save us from it. And so he sends Christ as an act of love. God's love for us is what Christmas is about. And it is a confounding truth that God, the God of the universe, would act out of love for us. But that is the heart of Christmas. So among all the other things that you might feel this Christmas season, I hope that chief among them is great love. And I don't just mean fluffy sentimentality. I mean robust love of God from him to you. God, in an attempt to demonstrate his love to us, sent Christ into the world. And he did that, yet knowing that Christ would do miracles. Yes. Knowing that Christ would teach us amazing things, that Christ would feed us and pray for us. Yes. Knowing that Christ would ultimately offer himself, his life, for us. Yes. But it should not be lost on us that first, the first act of love was Christmas. So will you call that to mind in the hours and days that come after this? You know, as you open presents and eat great food with your family and watch Christmas movies and whatever it is that you do, will you steal some moments to reflect on God's great love for you this Christmas? This is especially important for us this year, I think, to hear the message of love. As many of us continue to move through a really difficult time processing pain and loss over the last season of life, as we both look backward while we slowly walk forward, we must remember love. I think that most of us, if we were to reflect back on the last couple of years, that the moments that were marked by peace and stability and maybe even joy were moments that had one thing in common, and that was love. Moments where maybe we sensed a profound sense of God's love for us. Maybe moments where we experienced the hospitable love of a friend or loved one in our lives. Some days, especially these days, it seems like love for one another is in short supply, you know? It feels rare sometimes, but it is still precious and powerful where it is found. So we must anchor ourselves to the always present, steady, predictable, reliable, enduring love of God. Let me say one last thing. Because Christmas is not just a message about the love of God from Him to you. Not just something for you, but Christmas is a message about love from us to one another. It's the second part of that verse that I read, 1 John 4:9. Starts with, this is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only son into the world. And it ends with, that we might live through him. That we might live through Christ. The Christmas story isn't just about God's love to us, that there is something for us, but it's that there is love to be had through us to one another. Christ came into our lives not only to show God's love to us, but to enable us to do what we could not do without him. And that is to love one another. What began at Christmas was an opportunity for us to live through him. And Christ's whole life was marked by such profound love, as I've already made the point. His self-giving, sacrificial love culminating in his death. And we've all been the recipients of that self-sacrifice, but because Christ now lives, we can also live in him and through him. His way of life, his way of love can be ours through Christ. The always giving, self-sacrificial, always serving, always looking to bless the other kind of love. And that kind of love feels exhausting to us on our best days and impossible to us on our worst days, but it's not because of Christmas. We may live through him, and our lives may be marked in some sense by Christ's love. God's love is ours because of Christmas. It is for us, and it is through us to one another because of his birth at Christmas. Amen? Amen.